Has the Lord been good to you? Hallelujah. He's been good to me. And in spite of my weaknesses, in spite of my frailty, my inadequacies, he's still good. And I'm thankful that we serve a faithful God. And I've never known him to be anything other than what he is. Holy, righteous, perfect, faithful, patient, awesome. We can go down the list of adjectives tonight to try and describe him, but I'm glad he's good. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight I want to preach out of the book of Isaiah chapter 59. And tonight I'm going to have you remain seated while I'm reading the text. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here tonight, and you might be standing a little bit. Had this idea and this thought upon my heart Sunday as I was reading and studying, and I can honestly say that I've never preached in this direction before, but I felt it on my heart, and then the Lord confirmed it to me Monday, and so I'm going to go ahead and do my best to get this idea across. I want to preach tonight a simple thought: more than a superhero. More than a superhero. Now, tonight, I hope you don't walk away from service thinking Brother Brian may be the most carnal, fleshly-minded individual that's ever preached at Union Road. I hope that doesn't happen tonight, but I will be honest with you. I'm going to be talking about some superheroes. I'm going to mention some comic books. We're going to talk about my favorite superhero, Batman. And so just hold on to the end, okay? That's all I'm going to ask from you. Just wait till we get to the end, and then we'll make judgment later, hopefully. Hallelujah. Before we get into the Word, has anybody ever read the Action Bible? Does anybody know what the Action Bible is? Any of our young people know what the Action Bible is? Any? Jason knows what the Action Bible is. Anyone have a copy of the Action Bible? I was praying Monday and thinking about tonight and how I could bring my idea to fruition. And I walked into the book section of Walmart and found the Action Bible. This Bible, really it's a comic book, but it says Bible on it, so we'll just go with that for tonight. It's a comic book of the whole Bible, illustrated by a man who has worked for DC Comics and Universal Comics for many, many years, one of the most talented artists in the nation. And the Lord got a hold of his heart, and his world is drawing comics. And as the Lord began to minister to him and he began to find a relationship with Jesus Christ, the only thing he has known since he was a little boy was drawing comics. And so Sister Norvell, one day as he was thinking about the stories of the Bible, he started to draw. And he didn't stop until he got done from Genesis to Revelation. Now, I'm not saying this is infallible. I'm not saying preach from it. I'm just letting you know it's out there. And many youth programs are using this as a way of reaching young people who have never known anything about God. I'm so thankful I grew up in this church. We were talking last night with some friends of ours, Sister Sarah and I, discussing how the Lord has blessed us here. And I know there's things that we could you know, nitpick or anything if we wanted to find fault. But if you really start to think about how God has blessed us, and I can honestly say from the time of my very youngest memory till now, this church is all I've known. Sister Kay, I hope you feel special about this. The earliest memory I have of in my lifetime is when I turned 3 years old and entered in your Sunday school class. We got green suits that day on my birthday, and Ryan and I got to go to Sunday school at Sister Kay's class. That's my earliest memory. All I've known is Sunday school and this church, and I'm thankful for that. Young people, I hope you realize the testimony that God is giving you. It doesn't have to be God has delivered me from this or that, but that God has allowed you to be a part of the kingdom of God from your youth. And I pray till the time that Christ returns. Not all of us have had the opportunity to say that. But if you have, or even if you haven't had that opportunity, you would be the first to say, Brother Brian, that's the truth. I wish I would have been able to be a part of this from the youngest time of my life. But for those in our generation, our youth generation, who are surrounded and inundated with the ideology of a hero, of good versus evil, yet without context of God versus sin, they have the idea that there is a deliverer, yet they don't understand where the idea came from. They understand that there is a concept of needing somebody to protect me, needing someone to help me, needing someone to give a supernatural strength. Yet this generation is void of the knowledge that all of the ideas, all of the basis of any type of hero, of a supernatural power, of a superhuman power, has came and originated from the man who came and from heaven himself, Jesus Christ. He was more than a superhero. He is the epitome of everything that this world knows today of a hero. And so if you'll allow me, I want to preach for just a little bit on the idea of more than a superhero. The book of Isaiah chapter 59 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear deaf that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perversions. No one calls for justice, nor anyone pleads for truth. They trust in vanity, speak lies, conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. They hatch serpent eggs and weave the spider's web. Whoever eats the eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments. They're worthless. They have no value to a physical life. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, or their thoughts are continually on sin. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made themselves crooked paths, and whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." God help us. Hallelujah. "They made themselves crooked paths, and whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." If I've ever heard a description of the time that we're living in, I feel like that's so adequate. It's such a vivid understanding, Brother Aaron, of the times that we live in. We're surrounded with the ideology of violence. Our nation craves it. Even in our sporting activities, and y'all know that I love sports, so I'm not going to act like a hypocrite and tell you that I don't. But our sports are even drawn up and designed around the more violent, the more attractive. We focus now not just upon martial arts, Brother Brad, but upon mixed martial arts. The concept of two men who are basically about as muscular as you can get, going at it until the one of them doesn't walk out. And that has become one of the major sources of entertainment. We see that all around us, that lies are so continual that it almost has become a natural thing. I heard a report just the other day. A young man was on the news, and they were interviewing him. A professor caught 200 of his students cheating on a final. And the way he caught them, they didn't understand that he was pretty smart with technology. And he had set up a way to monitor the IP address of whatever computer they were using or whatever username that they had at the college. And he found that many of them were using the same smart student's username. Tests were identical. They thought they got away with it. The professor stood in class and said, "Folks, I want you to know something. This was the last quarter of law school." I should have said that. The very last quarter of someone's legal degree, and they're putting it on the line for a test. And he said, "Listen, this is what I'm going to do." He said, "I'm going to allow you a choice. You can choose to be honest, confess. You don't have to announce it in front of everybody. Come tell me. I'll give you an F, but I won't kick you out of the program. You can take the class again next quarter. Or you can say nothing, and I already know who it is, and I'll flunk you out of this class, and I will make sure that you are expelled from this university." On that report, a young man stood up and said, "I think it's hogwash what the professor's doing. He knows that everybody lies. Everybody cheats. Everybody in this university at some point has cheated to make their way to this place that we're at. And I thought, I wonder if he's honestly telling the truth. If this is the culture that we live in today, where lying is such a common occurrence, that those who are lying begin to believe the lies that they know are lies, where our political system is so built upon a foundation of no truth, of a lack of moral judgment, of a lack of justice, of a lack of integrity, that has become a common accepted idea that once you go to the White House, or once you make it into that plethora of the political world, that you might as well go ahead and punch your ticket of integrity, leave it at the door, because once you enter into that world, it is an accepted mindset that whatever you have to do to get ahead, go ahead and do it. We are surrounded with iniquity. We are surrounded by sin. We are bombarded with things that are so contrary to the Word of God. Later on in this chapter, Isaiah began to describe what the conditions of this city were like. He said, "Justice and judgment no longer abide here," speaking of them as if they were individuals. He said, "Truth has been murdered in the streets, and equity, righteousness, doesn't even dare enter into the gate." What has happened to this place? Was it an absence of God's ability? Absolutely not. Was it an absence of God making himself available to those people? No, not at all. But he said clearly in verse 2, "Our iniquities have separated us and God." It has nothing to do with the Almighty God's ability to reach down into a situation and transform it at his will. It has nothing to do with God being able to hear the cries of his people. His ear is not deaf. He is able to hear us tonight. It's not his fault that we're in the condition we're in. The responsibility has lied and rested upon the individual whose heart seeks after iniquity. Verse 9 said, "Judgment is far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait." And this is really where the Lord began to deal with me. "We wait for light, but we behold obscurity." Oh God, help us. "We wait for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, the time when it should have been brightest, the moment when it should have been the clearest in the day." But the writer said, "Listen, we're so far beyond that. It's almost like we're a blind man looking for something to support us." Has anybody been there in the midnight hour, wake up from a sleep, needing to go get a glass of water or something else, but there's no light? Your eyes haven't adjusted yet to the darkness, or maybe the absence of light is present. Has anybody ever slept in a room without windows? Luke Helfenstein has one of the darkest rooms I've ever been in my life. He's in the basement, has no windows, And honestly, it's been 3 o'clock in the afternoon before when I've woke up and had no idea because it was dark. You're not used to that. We're not used to the darkness. We were not designed to live in perpetual darkness. God did not create us so that we would, as the writer said, stumble around. Stumble around looking for something to lead us. You see, when you're blind, when you don't have the ability to see, automatically the other senses are going to try and compensate. But in this situation, when you have no bearings, when you have no ability to know if you're going north or south, when you have nothing that tells you, oh, that's the wall, and if I follow that wall, I know I'm going to hit a couple beams, but before too long, I'm going to make it to the foyer. You have nothing. Nothing tells you, I'm going to go this way or I'm going to go that way. And in that moment, you are completely helpless. You've seen individuals who are blind and live in blindness. And because of teaching and learning and even technology that we have today, they are able to live in that condition and with a walking stick or even with a seeing dog, they are able to get around and live in a way that is not restricted. But back in this time, in this era, a condition of blindness would have ultimately been like a death sentence. No one's going to take time out of their day to make sure the blind man gets down the road. No one's going to make sure no one takes advantage of the blind man. No one's going to stop and say, oh, blind man, there's a chariot coming. You see, if they are already in such deplorable conditions that he said iniquity, it just foams out of them. Sin is on their mind continually. If they are already in this condition, then the man who is blind is without hope. Did you hear what I said? If the society around him is already in a condition where God is nowhere in their thought process, where there is no understanding of righteousness, then the man who is disabled has no condition for hope. Isn't it amazing how folks who are in the saddest conditions are the very ones who dream of a superhero? Has anyone noticed that? A young man in a home where he isn't valued dreams of being that knight in shining armor. A young lady who is abused often dreams of a young man or of a hero or a superhero coming in to rescue them right before tragedy strikes. Since the 1930s, when the Great Depression was at its highest, that is when the American concept of the superhero developed. I don't want to see any hands, but in 1930, the Green Hornet came on the radio. Now listen, if you heard some of those original airings, that's all right. You know, whatever, you know. 1936, a character was developed, a character by the name of Superman, the very first printed superhero. Isn't it amazing, though, that if you begin to dive into the history or the ideas of what developed into Superman, that he is a son that came from a foreign planet to save mankind. It's amazing to see the similarities. If you begin to study where these storylines developed, you will find that it is so close. It's almost like a plagiarized ripoff of the concept that Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, he descended from heaven above, came to this earth. Why? Because he knew that there was somebody who wrote, "We waited for light, but there was no light. We waited, but it didn't come. We needed a hero." And God knew that there was only one way that they were going to be able to be saved. God knew that because of sin that had divided mankind from God, he knew there needed to be something more than a superhero. He knew there needed to be something that was more than human and more than a demigod. He knew he needed to send God himself. Hallelujah. And he said, "I'll send my son." What is a superhero? A superhero comes from the Greek word heros, or warrior. From the goddess Hera is where the original terminology came from. It means protector or defender. It's thought to bring about the idea of someone that can preserve something or to keep watch over. A hero is a person or an entity, an alien, who does amazing things to help, to rescue, to defend, or guard others who can't defend themselves. What does a superhero do? Since the debut of the prototypical superhero, Superman, I said 1936, I should have said 1938, stories of superheroes ranging from brief episodes to continuous long sagas have dominated American comic books and crossed into other media. Normally, superheroes will use powers to police day-to-day crime while also combating threats against humanity by supervillains, criminals of unprecedented power. In the same way as a superhero is good, the supervillain is bad. And I think we all know that. One of these supervillains is often the superhero's arch nemesis or arch enemy. Although sometimes the superhero has a rogue gallery of archenemies. What does a superhero look like? Anybody want to take a stab at this? Somebody tell me what the normal superhero looks like. Participate. Brother Hirsch just preached on this. Come on now. Hidden identity, right? Blends in with the crowd. And then he has a mask on when he wants to do good deeds, right? Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Brittany. Has a cape. I so wanted to get a towel, safety pin it, and I almost did, and honestly, I walked out of the house without it. Has a cape. Normally, a costume that identifies, hey, I'm so-and-so. For your sake, I didn't get the Batman outfit tonight. Decided to pass on that. You know who they are, though. You may not know them. See, they conceal their identity when they are just mingling. But when it comes to an opportunity or a moment where they need help, they put on the mask, disguise themselves, and go in and save the day. Oh, how kind of them. A superhero is possessing extraordinary or superhuman powers and dedicated to protecting the public and has some visual characteristics, typically an outfit, that makes him or her identifiable. Just a side note, Wonder Woman has got a new outfit and they're going to be releasing it next month. You learn all sorts of stuff when you start studying this stuff. Normally, the superhero will use a mask, a cape. You have identifiable features. They will have powers that the regular human does not have. They can shoot lightning bolts from their eyes, leap tall buildings with a single bound, use millions of dollars to make a Batmobile. Hallelujah. They can heal themselves in some cases. They can take control of the weather. They can morph themselves into certain other things. They're not like you and I. They're better than us. They can do things that you and I have limitations in. That is why folks like the idea of a superhero. If we were really honest, the reason, the popularity of the idea of someone that is not like me doing things I can't do to save me from who I am. Does this sound familiar to anybody? I think it's amazing how the enemy, and listen, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying tonight that if you like Superman or Spider-Man, you're going to hell, okay? But isn't it amazing how the enemy can take a truth of the Word of God and with a little bit of change, with a little bit of flash, and with a little bit of flair, can turn it into something that billions of people across this world love, live for. There's 30, 40-year-old men that have sat in their basement for the last 3 years playing video games of superheroes. They have no ambition. They have no goals, no life dreams, because they are enraptured in a world that is not reality. It frees them from the reality of who they are, because if they can get into the mindset that there's something else out there that's better than I am, then it frees them from the responsibility of addressing the needs in their life. But do we not realize time and time again how easily the enemy can wrap a package, make it look nice and pretty, but all it is a copy, a sort of duplicate of the awesome, mighty, majestic plan of God for us to realize there is something else out there. There is something more than we are. There is an ability that we don't have, but there is a God who loves us, who is able to save us. He's able to get us out of a situation. He's able to provide. He's able to protect. Hallelujah. He's able to heal a body. Hey, listen, it might not be me or you in the cape, but I know a God who didn't just carry a cape around, but he did carry a cross. And I know that he's more than a superhero. He's everything that we need. You see, our society is missing it. We dump millions of dollars into the production and ideas of false reality, when all along God just wants them to realize. Stay with me, young people. God wants them to realize there is a reality. We can be saved. We can be saved. Hallelujah. Why do we need a superhero? Because we have problems. Gotham City had Batman. I don't know where Iron Man's from. Metropolis had Superman. New York City had Spider-Man, Captain America, Fantastic Four. Amongst other cities messed up, that's why they needed so many. America has G.I. Joes. The universe has Jedi Knights. Our young ladies today have Edward and Jacob. Somebody help me say amen. See, y'all don't even know what your kids are watching. Anybody heard of Twilight? Anybody know what's on Twilight? Anybody listening or read the books that our children are being force-fed? The ideology that is being brainwashed and just completely saturated into the minds of our young people, that evil is what is a hero, that if we put ourselves in harm's way, young ladies they're telling them, if you will put yourself in a situation that is so dangerous that you may die, if you'll put yourself in that place, then there's going to be a man that will come and rescue you. It's a false idea. It is a false prophecy. It's a false doctrine. And we realize that no matter where you are in the world or universe, there is a hero for that. Chris has Chuck Norris. Hallelujah. Chuck Norris has Jesus, though, so that's right. The fascination with superheroes has surpassed all other forms of media. When it comes to buying merchandise, watching or producing movies, reading books or comics, and in some cases naming children, are all being based upon the concept of the superhero. In the next few years, the major Hollywood productions are going to be the re-release of all of the Spider-Man trilogies and Captain America, and they're going to be releasing the Avengers and all of this stuff. Batman's going to come back out. Why? Because Hollywood knows that this world needs hope, and it seems so silly. There's an individual out there who just think, hey man, I wish Batman was real, and if I can just buy into that idea. Listen, I don't know how many of you heard about, you know, Avatar. It was a movie that was released last year. There was written records of thousands of individuals who committed suicide after they watched that movie, because they said it was so sad that there was not a perfect paradise like that movie had on Earth. And I thought, oh God, If only we could have got to him, and if only we could have told him, we may not have it yet. We may not be there yet. Come on, church. I said we may not have paradise yet, but one of these days, they stole that idea too. One of these days, if we know Jesus Christ, who is more than a superhero, we've got a place waiting for us. Brother Brad Avatar couldn't even get close to describing what heaven's going to be like. Listen, church, this isn't made up. It's not a comic book. It's not make-believe. It's reality. It's not just a story. It's reality. Throughout history, you will see that there's always been an attraction for the supernatural or superhuman abilities. Whether you had the Romans with their gods, the Greeks with Hercules or with any of their individuals who are superhuman or demigods. Whether you go to Egypt and you saw Ra amongst the other plethora of supernatural beings, there's always been a drawing power to the supernatural. I believe the reason of that is this. God has designed every human alive with a part of their soul that is empty, that can only be filled with a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are designed to be in relationship with God. Hallelujah. Drawing power of story in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I cannot get over that sentence. We waited for the light. The Bible said that He is the light. Hallelujah. We waited for the light. But we waited in darkness. The world out there is waiting. Who's going to take light to them? Who is going to be the one that's going to penetrate the darkness? If we were to turn out the lights in this place, it would immediately become dark. Darkness is only the result of absence of light. If we were to have a dark room here and immediately turned on the light, that light would immediately begin to vacuum the darkness because it cannot coexist. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If we as the body of Christ will go and take the light of Jesus Christ into the world, I believe we'd start hearing more reports. We waited for the light and it came. Hallelujah. We waited. We waited for a hero. We waited for something more than ourselves. And He came. Jesus Christ is who they're waiting for. Hallelujah. He said, judgment is far from us, and justice does not overtake us. We wait for light, but we behold obscurity. We wait for brightness, but we walk in darkness. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. Our transgressions or wrongdoings, they're with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. We know them. We have an understanding. We have a concept. I know I'm wrong. Before I became a Christian, Sister Nervelle, nobody had to tell me what I was doing wrong. No one had to convince me of my sin. I knew it. I knew, Sister Diane, I was so lost. And I knew I needed something more than I could do on my own. I needed a hero. I needed somebody to save me. But I didn't wait on Superman. I didn't wait on Batman. Spider-Man didn't swing into Southern Ohio and rescue the day. Oh, the only superhero that walked in that place was Jesus Christ. And when I said I was waiting for light, I didn't have to wait any longer. And I wish somebody here tonight would realize what you might be waiting in. And that darkness that may be surrounding you is only surrounding you because of the absence of the light of Jesus Christ. It is the darkness of sin that overtakes, that corrupts. It is the darkness of sin that causes men and women, boys and girls, to long to do evil. The Bible said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And that is why, young people, if we will run from the darkness and run towards the light of Jesus Christ, we will know the healing, saving, supernatural power of an almighty God who is able to deliver us. Hallelujah. Able to protect us. I'm wrapping up. If we could have the music come. Last thing I want to talk about, though, is the deficiencies of the superhero. Superheroes can try to change a city, a situation, or a society, but they will always fall short of completing this task because they cannot change the heart of man. Hallelujah. Who do you turn to when there's no justice? Where do you go when there's no direction or ability to see where you're headed? Who can change your life? Hear a cry for mercy. Transform your heart. Minister to your specific needs. Can any superhero forgive sins? And they say, Brother Brian, we know that. They're fake. Can anything other than Jesus Christ forgive your sins? Can anything other than Jesus Christ deliver you from addiction or depression or bondage or abuse? Can any superhero bring life back to a marriage, heal your body, or protect your children when you're not with them? Can anything other than Jesus Christ do any of these things? The answer is most definitely no. Why? He's more than a superhero. Hallelujah. Woo! I said he's more than a superhero. He's God. Hallelujah. And tonight, I am convinced that I don't have to wait. I don't have to have a bat signal to get out a message to God. I don't have to send out a SOS. I don't have to get the green lantern out. I don't have to get a power ring. I don't have to call the UN to get a hold of Captain America. But Jesus, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, call unto me and I'll answer you. I don't have to wait on anything. I realize right now, if I need him, I know he's already here. That's the thing about God. He's already there. You see, a superhero, they were always coming in right at the last second. Always right before final blow. I'll tell you something. Jesus was there before the fight even started. And he's been there the whole time. And he's going to be there when the fight is over and the victory's been won. He has never left us or forsaken us. He is more than a superhero. Best part is this. Superman couldn't be in two places at once. He's pretty fast. He still had limitations. Batman and Robin can only be in so many places. The X-Men can only go so far. Chuck Norris, as great as he is, can only break so many boards. It's true, Chris. Jesus Christ has no limitations. Brother Brad, when you go to work tomorrow, and when I go to work, and whenever our kids are in school, and whenever we drive down the road, and I pull up behind a guy pulling semi-truck load of metal desk, God is right there. The same time he's in Uganda, the same time he's in Guatemala, the same time he's delivering a Chinese underground pastor, the same time he's ministering in California, the same time he's in South America, sweeping revival across Brazil, the same time that he's ministering in Indonesia, the same time that God is using the Lloyds in Haiti, the same time that our missionaries are walking on Papua New Guinea, the same time they're in Vanuatu, the same time we've got folks in Canada, the same time we've got folks near the Mexican border. Jesus Christ, who is more than a superhero, is with every one of us. He is without limitation. There's no weakness to him. Let's stand tonight. I didn't read the last part of the chapter because I wanted to save it for the end. The Bible says that God saw there was no man and wondered why there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. I can see the warrior getting ready. He's getting ready to go into battle. Hallelujah. He put that righteousness on as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. If you need a cape, there it is. Hallelujah. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. That doesn't sound too good. fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, and to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun that's in the east. Hallelujah. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Has anybody got an adversary? Anybody got an arch nemesis? Hallelujah. Anybody got somebody that you know does not love God? He said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against the enemy. Hallelujah. Glory. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. What did he just say? He said, if you come out from sin, I'll be more than a superhero. Hallelujah. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord. From now, henceforth, to forever. What's he saying, Brother Brian? He's saying the same God that kept my grandmother, hallelujah, the same God that rescued her, that changed her life, that protected her children, that protected her, is the same God that when I eventually have children, he's going to be their superhero. He's going to be their God. Listen, the Lord has never changed. Whatever situation you're in right now, whatever battle you're facing, he's still the God of victory. He's still the God of answers. He's still the God of hope. He's still the God that is more than a superhero. And if you need him tonight, all you have to do is call. Right. All you have to do is call. And he's right there. Why don't we come and let's find a place to pray tonight. If you need help, if you need God to move in your life, come to this altar. Allow him to minister to you. Let's all come and find a place to pray tonight. Oh, he's so powerful. In no way would I demean God and his righteousness. But he is so majestic and wonderful and powerful and beyond anything that I could ever know. He's so much more than any drawing, any concept. He's God. And he's able to move.